This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club on FUBAR Radio.
Good afternoon, you're listening. I was trying to be professional. I lasted a word and a half. I was going to do the whole. I was going to do like. I was going to be really good. I thought we've had a break
and we're going to come back refreshed.
Going to come back refreshed. I'm going to be like, good afternoon, welcome to FUBAR Radio. I'm
playing
Nick Helm.
I
can't do it.
No.
Can't do it. Good afternoon. You're listening to FUBAR Radio. My name's Nick Helm. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Nathaniel Metcalf.
Hello.
Hello. This is fucking shit, though, isn't it? No, it's not. I'm just all right. But it's very stressful today, isn't it? Anyway, my name's Nick Helm, and this is...
Nathaniel Metcalf!
And you're listening to Fan Club.
And what's the first rule of Fan Club?
First rule of Fan Club is tell your friends. Yeah. And second rule of Fan Club is please, for the love of God, tell your friends. And a lot of you out there don't seem to realise that when we say tell your friends, we're basically asking for a retweet.
A retweet. What's our one ad today? How many retweets?
I think last check it was about four.
Two favourites, four retweets.
Yeah.
So two of those were me and you.
Yeah. You wouldn't believe that this show gets upwards of 20,000 listeners.
And growing.
20,000 listeners. Right. If you're one of them, please tweet in. We are live. live at midday. We've done a minute and 45 seconds and still yet to have any broadcastable content. I've been really excited about this. What I've noticed over the last month, Nathaniel, is I literally, when they said, do you want to do a show on FUBAR? I said, no. and then I thought about it and I thought it is just around the corner from where I live.
It is, yeah.
And it's slightly further away for you.
I have to get the tube. Really.
You've got to get the tube. And eventually I thought, do you know what? It would actually be something I would consider. And I did consider it and I thought it's near enough. I'll do it. But what I've learned over the last, what are we on now? 13, 14 episodes?
I think this is 11.
No, it's not.
Is it?
I think we were.
I've been away.
I think we had. I think Richard Stanley might have been 13.
Oof.
So
I'm
we're up to
some.
14 episodes now. 14 weeks of doing it. Well, it wasn't. It was like 11 weeks of doing it, and then we had the three pre-records.
By the way, they wouldn't have realised that because we covered it very well.
We did cover it very well. But what I've noticed on the time off that we've had is I have come to depend on this hour of the week.
Do you know what? It is a weird. Now I'm back from Scotland, it feels like it is one of the few constants in my life.
Yeah.
It's a real...
Damn right.
It's a real anchor to my week.
I've really missed you, Nat, and it's good that you've come back. This isn't the this isn't the song I thought it was, but it's a good one nevertheless. It's "Welcome Home" by Peters and Lee. Just having it in the background while we chat. It's good. How was Edinburgh for you?
Do you know what? I can't complain. It was stressful, and everything goes wrong there. And you know, and there was a point I was going. I keep thinking, I'm really coping with it really well. And then one morning, I had some eczema show up on my arm. And I went to the pharmacist and I said, have you got anything for it? Have you got any hydrocortisone?
It is the song! Sorry, pipe down a second. It is the song that I was thinking about playing for you when you got back. Couldn't wait for you to get back.
Oh.
So keep talking.
I wonder. So I had a bit of eczema on my arm and I said, have you got any hydrocortisone cream? And she said, yeah, but you can't use it on your neck. And I went, that's fine, it's on my arm. And she said, no, it isn't. It's also on your neck. And then she said to me, are you very stressed? And I nearly cried in the pharmacist. I went, yeah, I am quite stressed. I've been here all month.
But that was just in like a pharmacist?
Yeah, yeah.
Not even in the actual doctors?
No, just a little bit of eczema. Seems like a...
Sure.
Seems like a big deal to cope with doctors.
Well, if you suffer from eczema, then it's kind of like a regular daily thing, isn't it? You just got to cope with
it. Just got to live with it.
Yeah, it's like being...
I'm a hero.
It's like being wheat-free. You know, you just have to kind of...
We're back!
You just gotta deal with it every
day.
The
magic is back.
Oh, fucking Lethal Weapon 4. Is that what the...
What was it?
The magic is back. If you know, tweet
I
in.
Think, is it another 48 hours?
The magic is back, another 48 hours.
Hang on, no, what is it?
Well, no, I was literally going to wait for you. This is great radio.
I've really missed being here, and I think it's a real anchor to my week. And I think, like, I really like doing it. And it's a thing where you go, this is what I miss when I'm in Edinburgh, coming here every week.
I think if... will you do Edinburgh again?
I don't know.
Because, I tell you what, Nat, you were absolutely dreading it, weren't you? I tried to sort of steer clear of Edinburgh stuff out of professional bitterness. But but what I did notice, it's impossible to block everything out because they shout so fucking loud all the fucking time, don't they? Fucking, oh, I've got a show on. We were just saying earlier, the best part of the day for you was the hour that you were on stage because you didn't have to talk to anyone else about what fucking shows they were doing. But it's impossible to block it all out, and I saw that you got some really good reviews.
That's some nice reviews. Had a really... it was nice. And I had lots of nice audiences. Lots of people who told me they were fan club listeners.
Well, that's nice. I mean...
It was nice.
I find it hard to believe. 3 retweets. Come on, guys. What a song.
It is nice.
And here's a little message for you.
Hello there, Nat. It's your 2011 Edinburgh Show partner and friend, Chris Boyd here. Hope you're well. Just wanted to welcome you back to the show. I don't really listen to it myself, but I'm told by various unemployed people I know that it is fantastic. So keep up the good work and hope to see you soon. Bye-bye.
Classic Chris Boyd charm there.
I love Chris Boyd.
Yes. He was my drummer on Live at the Electric, Series 1. Only did the first series of that. And then he got married and had a baby.
He did. Called Lenny.
And now we don't see him. But just hate babies. So it's good. You're doing your show again on Sunday, isn't it? For anyone who didn't go to Edinburgh,
wants to come and see it, I'm doing it in London town.
In Angel Comedy, right?
Angel Comedy. Is it the Bill Murray pub?
Yeah, I'm going to be there on Sunday. What time?
6:45.
6:45 to 7:45
p.m.
Great. Okay. So you're back. Well done.
Thank you.
Very proud of you. Oh. Let's get on with the show. We've done 7 minutes of that.
This has been a treat already. Lots of various things.
Yeah,
producers
sure.
on the phone.
Just ignore Natalie. Yeah. Go on.
I don't know. I was distracted. Oh, how have you been, Nick?
How have I been? Thank you, Nat. all about you. I mean, you're the one that's actually been hanging out with the people that you know for a month up in Edinburgh.
It's true. You've been in London now.
I've been in London in my box, and now I'm finally out. And hey, let me out! And I'm out. And it's just as much of a treat for me as it is for the listeners.
What have you been a fan of this month?
I've been filling my time. I went to see Suspiria and Goblin. Goblin to Suspiria at the chapel, at the Union Chapel in London. Now, if you don't know what Suspiria is about, it's sort of about witchcraft and witches, although that is kind of quite a late plot development in the film.
I suppose, yeah.
But it was made in 77. You've had enough time to look it up.
Oh, we could press the button.
Oh,
Nick and Nat. Third time lucky.
Spoiler!
Yeah, spoilers!
So I went to see that and it was good. But the Union Chapel, it was very spooky being at the Union Chapel, very sort of creepy. And I thought, oh, do you know what? I've got an idea for putting on a show at Halloween.
At the Union Chapel?
At the Union Chapel. So I got in contact with them at the Union Chapel and said, have you got any slots around Halloween? And they said, no. We're just doing religious things. So,
Does it, what, like a black mass?
I don't know, but it was just kind of like one of those things where it was almost like, I think they were a little bit offended that we asked if we could use Union Chapel for Halloween.
It's just
like, you use it all year round to show horror films about witchcraft.
Yeah.
It's kind of like double standard. Also, I've said cunt so many times on that stage. You know,
sure.
Not when anyone's in, just every so often I sneak in and creep on stage and give it a go. The acoustics in there are gorgeous.
It wasn't great during Goblin.
No, it wasn't. It was good. I think you would have liked it.
I would have liked it, I think. And I feel like I'm due a rewatch of Suspiria anyway, so it would have been a good way to have seen it.
Yeah, I think it's a lot less happens in that film than you think. And also there were sort of like a few technical problems, and the bottom of the screen was just this black bar, and it made you think that you were missing the top half of the screen. It was sort of like a bit. Well, when it started, I'm only going to say positive things. I just thought that, you know, it took us 2 hours. We queued for 2 hours. Well, we didn't. We sat
outside?
Yeah, we sat in the pub. Or we sat in the Hen and Chickens, and there was me, Hayley Campbell,
previous fan club guest,
Al Clayton, and Mark Smith, right? And we were all sat at the Hen and Chickens, and then there was like this queue that was like going round the roundabout.
Wow, snaking almost as far as where you are.
It was just like, and you go, we were just like, well, that's about as long as it'll get. And every minute it just increased and increased and increased. So by the time that it was actually, you know, the doors opened at 7. So we went over at like 10 to 7, and it was right round the back of the Union Chapel. It had gone right the way round the block. And then they opened the doors at like 7:15, and it took us an hour and a half or something. I think it was meant to start. I mean, I can't imagine anything being deliberately set to start at 8:24.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it clearly wasn't 8:30 because it started early. So it must have been 8. Mm. It took us like an hour and a half for everyone to get seated. But it was really good. And then I went to see Goblin the next night.
Doing a best of,
because it was originally meant to be Dawn of the Dead. And which I've not seen Dario Argento's or Goblin's version of Dawn of the Dead, so I wanted to see that, very looking forward. That's why I bought the tickets, and it was the greatest hit, which I've seen before. I'm slightly disappointed with that, but I went to see it. There was not a queue around the block for that, but it was an amazing night, and I thought to myself, nah, I would have liked this.
I would have done.
Yeah.
It was also in Edinburgh, but it sold out in Edinburgh.
It was in Edinburgh, and it had sold out. And doing this show fan club, unfortunately, guys, doesn't open a lot of doors, and we still have to pay for a lot of our own tickets.
Crazy, ridiculous.
Crazy, doesn't get us in anywhere.
We did get to see Skyscraper.
And speaking of which, Skyscraper, I think, is one of the worst films I've seen in the cinema now I've reflected on it. I felt like a bit of pressure to say that I find some positive, because you liked it and the kid liked it. But I did think it was awful. And then I was thinking about No More Films for You tweet. Wow. But I did think it was dreadful. But having said that, I was trying to think of at least one Dwayne Johnson movie that was good. And I couldn't think of any. But I went on holiday for 10 days. Got back last night.
Sri Lanka.
I went to Sri Lanka, and I came back specifically to do this show. I mean, that's how much I missed it. But I was in Sri Lanka, and so the flight was 10 and a half hours. On the way, I watched 4 films. I watched Rampage, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I thought I'd watch it early, get it out of the way. Mm-hmm. It's fucking brilliant! It's like everything that The Meg should have been. It was just big and stupid and, like, just ridiculous. Have you seen it?
No. I have seen The Meg.
The Meg was disappointing.
It was a bit. I think it could have been a bit crazier.
It should have been, like, Crank meets a shark.
Yeah.
But that's what Rampage is. Rampage is just ridiculous. It knows how ridiculous it is. It's got... who played the comedian in Watchmen?
Oh, yeah. What's his face?
Yeah, exactly. Triple barrel name.
Yes.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Yes. Just off the top of my head, I did that. That's fan club. So he's brilliant in it. And he's got kind of like, his costume is kind of like, he's got this really cool kind of, he's like meant to be a kind of cowboy fan. And he's got like this cool gun that's on a weird holster. And it's just like, there's little bits of detail and stuff. I just thought it was really entertaining. And there were some like entertaining bad guys and stuff. And it was so much better. And then I was just like, oh, this is what everyone's going on about when they're saying how good Dwayne Johnson is.
Right, that's the... Yeah, I get it.
And so just because we were doing this, I wanted to watch Jumanji 2 on the flight back, but it's not on the plane. I was getting it mixed up with Incredible Journey 2. Or Journey to the Centre of the Journey to the Centre of the Earth 2. And so I didn't watch that. So
is it Journey to the Centre of the Earth?
Yeah, Journey to the Centre of the Earth.
Like five.
So I didn't watch that because I watched Escape from Witch Mountain or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was an absolute piece of shit.
Yeah.
But so this morning I watched Jumanji 2 because I woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And yeah, fucking Jumanji 2. Amazing film.
Is it called Jumanji 2? Is it called Jumanji?
It's called Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle.
That's right.
And it's good. It's really good. And then, so, but on the way, I watched Rampage, Hitchcock, Clash of the Titans remake. Hitchcock. The Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, yeah, Hitchcock.
Film.
I've seen that.
So, okay, so I watched Rampage, Hitchcock, Clash of the Titans, Paddington 2 on the way there. Paddington 2, 5 stars. Absolutely fucking amazing.
I've heard only good things.
And it's like wall-to-wall with people that you know as well. It's kind of like Tom Davis is in it, and there are others. Jamie Dimitri's in it. And it's kind of like, oh.
I wish I was in Paddington 2.
But
Paddington 3?
No. But it's fucking good, and I was quite proud of them, really. And like everyone in the plane at some point was watching Paddington 2. So if you're listening, Jamie, you're international. well, he knows that anyway.
International waters.
Then on the way back, though, I only had time for one film because I was writing on the plane on the way back. And I wasted it with The Three Stooges by the Family Brothers. Oh, my God. What a piece of shit. Absolutely terrible. And when I was out there, I watched The Blues Brothers because Aretha Franklin died. And I haven't watched The Blues Brothers in a long time.
I haven't seen it in a long old time.
Blues Brothers is one of those weird films where every time I watched it, I just assumed it was a comedy. And so I've always watched it as a comedy and been really frustrated with it. And it never occurred to me that it was actually a musical.
Right.
And when you watch it like it's a musical, you go, oh, this is fine. Oh, I get it now. Because there's a song every like 5 minutes. And you go, yeah. You just watch the songs. But it's a musical. But it's also a funny musical. But I just think my mindset was very, I really enjoyed it. It's a fucking crazy film, though. And I don't think you would ever be able to make a film like that before or after it. It's like a completely unique film, which is you've got, you know, Ray Charles, B.B. King, fucking Aretha Franklin, and then you've just got them, you know, the original blues musicians singing songs, and then car chases.
You forget about Blues Brothers 2000 from 1998.
I've never seen it.
Who has?
We're being told to rattle along. So, one quick story, which was that. So, I went out to see my girlfriend in Sri Lanka. I said, "Did you watch anything on the plane?" And she said, "Yeah, I watched that one about Winston Churchill." I was like, "Oh, what, the Gary Oldman one? I didn't see that anyway." She goes, "No, not the Gary Oldman one. She says, "I think it was called Churchill." I was just like, "Churchill." I didn't think Churchill. There was like a really old one called Churchill. I think it had Richard Attenborough in it. There was like a really old one, but I didn't. They had some classic films on the plane, but I didn't think they had that. Are you sure you mean Churchill? And she was just like, "Yeah, Churchill. It's Churchill." And I said, "Yeah, Winston Churchill. Yeah, he had the cigar." And she's like, "Yeah, that's right." And right, okay. So we're just going through like, and I was like, IMDb and Churchill films with Winston Churchill, and you know, and I said, "Hang on a minute. Do you mean Hitchcock?" And she went, "Yes." It's just like, yeah, I see what you've done. I see exactly what you've done there. Yeah. You've got a British actor in a fat suit, smoking a cigar. They kind of look the same.
Let's say you do it. I could have done it. Fat suit.
Go on, do it. Like,
"Good evening, I'm Alfred Hitchcock."
Good evening, I'm Alfred Hitchcock.
Good evening. There we go, Churchill.
There you go, Churchill.
With Albert Finney.
Albert Finney. That's not what she watched. She watched Hitchcock.
Is that no, it's Brian Cox, isn't it? Not.
Mate, no one else can see the picture.
Sure.
That's not the one I wanted. That's not the one I wanted. That's not the one I wanted. This is going badly. This is for you.
Come on, Dad. I'm trying to make a good impression.
It's a lovely night. Walking in the moonlight is very romantic. Trust me.
But, Dad, you promised to let me use the car if I got good grades. Dad, I want to take her to the movies. It'll take an hour to walk there.
Then you better get going. And by the way, enjoy the show.
G-G-G.
Did you enjoy the movie? Jason, I'm talking to you.
Well, not sure I really understood it all.
Then let me explain.
Some folks have a strange idea of entertainment.
Absolutely bonkers. got another message for you here, Nat.
Hi,
Nat. It's Yasmin Akram here.
Oh, yeah.
I have heard that you're back from Edinburgh, and I'm so excited. I'm so excited that I actually don't sound very excited, but I really, really am. I hope you had a lovely time, and I love you. That's probably okay to say. I love you, and I'm happy you're back. Thank you.
Lots more where that came from.
So, lots of messages coming from fan club previous alumni.
Speaking of which,
Nick and Nat's fan club on FUBAR Radio.
This is the worst episode yet so far.
But I'm enjoying it.
I'm enjoying it, but we've got almost got too much to say. So basically, just said Rampage. That's good. But it's just about to turn into maybe the best fan club ever.
You betcha.
Because we are joined in the studio now by my best friend and yours, and soon to be the listeners at home, the one, the only Joel Dommett.
Finally,
we managed to nab him. No, not really. It's David Trent.
That was a good fun.
Oh, good.
He's going to be the best one ever.
He's going to be the best one ever. Hello, David.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
That's great.
Are you feeling mischievous? He's
a little bit cheeky. I'm feeling a little bit cheeky.
You're wearing a yellow T-shirt that looks like
Spaceman 3.
Looks like it's emitting a radio signal out. So it's like you've colour-coded yourself for the actual show.
I got myself ready.
It matches the yellow, the FUBAR yellow.
Yes, that's what I did. I looked up online what T-shirt matches the FUBAR radio .com.
You looked it up on the internet?
Yeah, I looked it up on the internet. Oh, have you heard of the internet?
That's one of my catchphrases.
Yeah, so I looked it up on the internet. I rang my mate Ozzy and I said, what what would match the logo? And they said, get that T-shirt that you're wearing. But let's not talk about my T-shirt, guys.
This was a mistake. This is the exact... It's moments like this that make me realise that this isn't the pinnacle of my week. bored shitless already.
Very, very rude.
Thanks for driving in from Cambridge.
I didn't drive. I took a train.
You got a train in? Yes. Hey, bloody hell.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the trains.
That's good.
Yes.
What have you been up to lately?
Riding my bicycle.
Yeah. Oh man, this is bad. Oh god, what? I knew it. You've lost a lot of weight, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been riding my bike
you
all
look amazing.
Day, every day.
You do look good.
You look amazing.
Thank you very much. I've lost 2.5 stone.
Yeah, 2.5 stone. Because it's weird, actually. Because not that I've got a copy of it, but the last time I saw the Heavy Entertainment pilot. Mm. I was shocked at how tiny you were.
I was
that.
Very thin because I'd had jaundice.
You'd got really ill.
Yeah.
And it was yellow as well.
Yeah.
To match the foobar jaundice.
Match the foobar jaundice. Most of my life is just spent trying to match the foobar logo.
Sure. But you were very ill.
Very ill. Nearly died.
Very worried about you there. There were some dark days for a lot of us.
Do you think this appearance is going to lead to more work, David? Are you looking forward to the increased profile?
What, after being on FUBAR Radio?
On Fan Club. Upwards of 20,000.
Yeah,
000.
Probably. I'd imagine that I'll probably get a TV series out of this.
One of the things that I noticed...
Bike when Man.
Bike Man.
Yeah, because I'm really into my bike. I bought a bike.
What kind of bike? Are you like one of those people who likes bikes now?
No, I like buying accessories. Yeah. I'm not really into
like what, a basket?
But like life accessories as well, though, don't you?
Yeah, I like to get a clip to put my phone on. Look, I've got a special phone case that I can clip onto my.
But thing. Not just for your bike, though, is it? Yeah.
You like?
Like you're into your bike at the moment.
I like my bike at the moment, but just before that, I liked coffee.
Oh, sure. David Trent has a tap that produces boiling water.
Well, I wouldn't recommend that actually.
I've seen an advert, and it's a woman and her daughter, and they're by the sink, which is like, come on, guys, 21st century. And but there's a woman and her daughter by the sink, and the woman is basically she's steaming some, she's like washing some spinach or something like that with boiling water at the tap, and then the little girl just grabs the tap out and sticks her head under it and starts drinking out of it, and it's like there's this switch in it that means that it can instantly switch between boiling water and cold water. But the fucking advert for it just is like a horror film. It's just like, oh no, don't do that! Don't do that!
I think it's like a public information film.
It's just it's absolutely fucking horrific watching that. But why?
And that is a fail-safe device, is it?
Yes. But I mean, I can't imagine. I would not want to fucking test it.
You wouldn't sell it like that.
That's the advert. I can't remember if it was like waiting for your video to load on YouTube or whether it was on telly. But
or whether you typed in hot water tap videos and were just doing one of your hot water tap nights. You love hot water taps.
I'm a bit of a fan of hot water.
Who doesn't love hot water?
I do like it though.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you'd just have cold water, wouldn't you?
Ironically, you can hear the ice clinking around in my glass.
That's the coldest water you can get, really.
Ice.
Not even water. It's a solid, isn't it? Water is never a solid.
I've got a riddle for you. There's a man who's been found hanged, but he's just got a pool of water underneath him.
Yep.
But how did he do it? How did he hang himself?
Oh, well, actually, that's not good radio, is it? Just listening to two people sat in silence trying to work out.
Trying
to work out a riddle.
Well, he went in the room.
Yeah.
And then he drank some water.
Yeah.
And then he hung himself.
But yeah.
He was drinking the water while he was hanging.
Oh, there's no chairs or anything else.
Did he not piss himself?
But I think that does happen when you get hanged. So it could also
and
be that.
And all the other stuff.
But then someone
it all comes out in a way.
Tried it. And it was water.
Did he build like a block of?
Put his finger in that. No, it's definitely water.
So did the man? I don't really know what the point is. He's hanged himself. He's hanged himself in a room.
Yeah.
And there's just a puddle of water
puddle
on
water.
The floor. And he'd made like a snowman, and he climbed on the snowman's shoulders, and the snowman said,
"There was no
you're
like
with
carrot
me
or,
now.
Or coal.
No, it was,
or a hat or a scarf.
He didn't have eyes or a nose.
No,
and he stood on a big block of snow or ice.
Yes,
I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? It's like the first thing that you think of.
But he carried the ice in. How did he make that such a large block of ice? That's what I always.
Also, it would have taken a long time, wouldn't it?
That's the real thing. No, not if it depends where you are. If you're in like Alaska, then you could just go out and cut a block of ice.
But it would take even longer, though, wouldn't it? Because you'd probably be. No. You'd have to have. Central heating.
Sure. But you don't know how long he's been out there. Maybe he didn't have any friends. Maybe no one's checked on him. Maybe it's 6 months later, and but then the water would have dried up. Couldn't be, between 10 minutes and 6 months. I always think that in Die Hard 2, the widescreen 18 certificate version that you could get on VHS, not the 15 pan and scan version. But in the when Bruce Willis, because the reason it was an 18 in widescreen was because there's a scene where Bruce Willis stabs someone in the eye with an icicle.
Oh, was that? Okay.
And then he snaps it off, and there's a guy, and he turns around to the camera and goes, ah! And in the pan and scan version, it cuts off that bit, and so it was a 15, but in the widescreen version, you see it. I just think that that's almost like the perfect murder weapon, isn't it? If you'd stabbed someone in the eye with an icicle, and then it just melts.
When Die Hard 2 was on at the cinema.
Can you acknowledge that I've said that? Because otherwise, it just sounds like I'm insane.
I was just going to ask you if you've ever read The Lovely Bones by Alice Sebold.
No, I've not.
Okay, well, that's a bit of a spoiler.
What is it?
Spoiler! Spoiler! Guys, if you haven't read The Lovely Bones by Alice Sebold, stop listening.
No, don't. Keep listening.
Keep. Tell your friends. We need them. Tell your friends.
Oh, tell your friends to read
them. Just put your fingers in your ears. So okay. I think there's that's how the girl gets killed in it.
With an icicle.
Oh, yeah. Really? Alice C. Walker, what's her name?
Sebold.
Alice Sebold. Mm. Did she watch Die Hard 2, the widescreen 18 certificate
Die
version?
Harder.
It's a similar feel. The book's a similar feel. It's about a ghost.
She goes around saying, how can the same shit happen to the same ghost twice?
This is the best one.
It feels so forced. It is an effort.
Come on, mate.
Come on.
You got it in you.
The Lovely Bones.
I was thinking about this the other day because we never talk about books. And I'm reading a book at the moment. I'm reading a book about William Castle.
Not written by, is it written by?
Written by William Castle.
I'd like to read it.
William Castle, if you don't know, was he was sort of like a B movie Alfred Hitchcock. He was a contemporary of Alfred Hitchcock.
Good evening. That's my club.
And of course, Alfred Hitchcock. He really brought England kicking and screaming into World War II.
Yeah, absolutely.
Showed Hitler who was boss. William Castle was kind of like a B movie version of him, and he used to use lots of tricks in his films, like
gimmicks.
His most famous one was probably The Tingler, where he would put buzzers on the bottom of everyone's seats, and whenever something scary happened on screen, everyone's seats in the cinema would buzz. And Matinee,
the film Matinee, the Joe Dante movie.
The Joe Dante film is sort of like based on him, but William Castle. But my point about this is that. I had a friend at school, and every time she picked up a book, she would start it and then she would finish it. Right, she'd read it from beginning to end. Right, and I was like the opposite. Really, I'd pick up a book, and if I wasn't immediately absorbed in it, I would just I would forget about it and put it down and never go back to it. And I've been really trying to read lately, and I felt like I was thick. And I read sort of like 70 pages in one sitting of this William Castle book, and I think it's an amazing book. And I think it's just about like finding, for me, it's about finding that one thing that you're really passionate about, and then it doesn't feel like you're actually working for it. I've wasted my life.
So you're saying, what you're saying is, if you get a book, it should be a book you like.
Yeah, but not really.
It's hard to find a book that you like.
Yeah, exactly. But you want to invest that amount of time.
For a very long time. At the moment, I'm reading...
The Lovely Bones.
No, I'm reading an autobiography by Hunter Davies of Wainwright, Lake District Hill. That's one of I'm a fan of his.
Hunter Davies is an interesting character.
Hunter Davies himself has started publishing his own biographies, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Why is he interesting?
Well, he's just sort of like, Here We Go Around the Mulberry Bush? Isn't he that? Isn't that Sunday?
What, he wrote Here We Go Around the Mulberry Bush?
Yeah.
He wrote that poem.
The poem?
No.
Here We Go Around the Mulberry Bush?
He wrote Here We Go Around the Mulberry Bush. No. I don't believe
Here We Go Around the Mulberry Bush?
Yeah. Here We Go Around the Mulberry
Here
Bush.
Here We Go Around the Mulberry Here We
Can
here
you, Natalie, we go. Can you get Here We Go Down Around the Mulberry Bush?
He wrote the song.
Can you just look that up for us?
That became the Barry Evans film. and he wrote, didn't he? And he
used like a nursery rhyme, like Along Came a Spider, yes. Starring
Ashley
Freeman.
Judd. And Ashley Judd.
Ashley Judd. I could never tell the difference between Ashley Judd and Angelina Jolie.
Could you not? No. I bet you can now.
I couldn't tell you for the life of me who's in The Bone Collector.
I don't know. Is it? I'm not sure.
Exactly. If you know, write in.
Text in. You can win
a handful of my pubes. So let's keep going.
You might get someone asking. Some ice.
Text in.
Ice. You can text in. Yeah. They're free for you, David. So here's a little question. You have lost loads of weight. Why haven't you trimmed your beard down to really accentuate that?
I'm lazy. We also been watching Friends,
the TV show Friends.
Yeah.
Or sitcom,
or like what I do, and just follow of them on Twitter.
People around having fun.
Yes,
I can't believe it. How funny!
It's so
it is.
Weak,
guys. It's so funny.
Friends,
yeah.
Friends is great.
It was a funny thing. I think it got a bit of a hard time when it was on. I always thought it was a much better show than it got credit for.
I don't think it was a particularly cool show. And
no.
I remember like saying, oh, I really love Friends. And people were going, really?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You do? And yeah. I was like, because, you know, I was like the coolest, the cool guy. And they couldn't believe it. In fact, I was largely famous in my school for making Friends the cool show to watch.
Yeah. Amongst your friends.
I was very much my friend's answer to Fonzie. who was your favourite friend, David?
My favourite friend when I first watched it was Joey.
No, I mean out of me and Nat, who is your favourite friend?
I can't answer that question. No, Joey. Joey was my favourite.
Tell us about Friends.
Joey was my favourite, but now I'm starting to enjoy Chandler.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Starting to enjoy him. Well, really? Try watching it again.
Yeah.
You don't like Joey anymore?
No, I still like Joey.
Joey's great.
But Joey doesn't really come into his own until about season four,
no.
I think.
There's
when
a great...
he eats the trifle.
My favourite one was one where he's watching an episode of The Wheel of Fortune and it's got just about all the things are up for, and it looks like it's going to say Mount Rushmore, but the M is missing. And he said, this is so easy. Count Rushmore! And that I remember being a really funny bit of Friends.
My favourite Joey from Friends moment is when he's got like a dentist mirror and like one of the girls stands, but he's watching telly and one of the girls stands behind him and says, hey, I'm taking my top off. And he goes, that is little mirror. And he goes, nah, she's lying. I thought that was funny. My favourite friend was always David Schwimmer. I think he's
really?
Great. Because he's an all-rounder. He could do all the romantic stuff. He could do all the physical comedy. He could do all the chatty stuff. And then he could overact. And when he really overacts, it got quite annoying. But I really loved David
Schwimmer. Monkey could hold his finger.
Oh, the monkey stuff. I forgot about the fucking monkey.
The monkey.
Get rid of the monkey.
It was his thing. It was developed originally as a vehicle for David Schwimmer.
Was it?
Apparently.
Because it seems in the early days that it was like a Courtney Cox thing. Like she had, there was a guest star every week as her sous chef, and they'd sit in the, you know, and it was sort of like she'd just come off Ace Ventura. And when Friends came on, because I fancied the fuck out of Courtney Cox and Ace Ventura. And so when they advertised Friends, I was just like, it's the girl from Ace Ventura. Mm. So she's the reason I started watching it in the first place. And then careful with my words there, but I came for Courtney Cox, but I stayed for David Schwimmer.
I'm surprised by the cameos. Last night, Helen Hunt was a cameo.
She's playing Helen Hunt from Mad About You.
Yes, isn't she?
I think
it's a crossover.
It's a crossover episode.
And
because Ursula is Ursula, who's Phoebe's identical twin sister. Because it's a shared universe with Mad About You. So I think that Friends was on at 9 and Mad About You was on at 9:30 on the slot.
Okay.
Chandler appears in an episode of Caroline in the City.
And Caroline in the City appears in Friends. And when they were launching Caroline in the City, they gave Leah Thompson a cameo in Friends. And so it's kind of like there were all these shared universes. Because it was the same
Clooney
production company.
And the other guy.
Is he playing Dr.
Noah Wiley?
And they're both Noahs. They're both doctors.
But
and that's that Sent Elsewhere thing that we've talked about off air. Have you talked about that here in Fan
Club? Timothy Westphal multiverse,
which is all
American TV exists in the same
Tell
shared
me about
universe.
This, because I don't know about this. Tell
oh,
me
there's
this.
A thing like the end of St. Elsewhere has like a.
I do know about this, but I'm just trying to give the listeners an entry point.
Oh yeah, so what it is essentially is that. So it's, it all starts.
Don't think about them. Just think about it as if you're just having a chat with your two mates.
Detective Munch from Homicide: Life on the Street. He has appeared in. He has appeared in the X-Files, The Simpsons, CSI. Luther, he is mentioned in the British Idris Elba thing.
He's actually mentioned in Luther, but he's not in it.
No, he gets mentioned. He's his mate in America, suggesting that all these things exist in the same shared universe.
It's a bit like the Quentin Tarantino universe.
Exactly.
Where there's two universes in Quentin Tarantino's universe. There is the Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction universe, and Jackie Brown, and when all of those people go to the cinema, they go to watch...
Kill Bill.
Kill Bill and Django Unchained and Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
Or no, Inglourious Basterds is in the actual universe, isn't it? Because Inglourious Basterds is like is the alternate.
Death Proof is probably one of the films they watch or something.
Yeah.
But this is an Elsewhere universe.
Yes.
It's something to do with that there's an autistic boy in the final episode.
There is, he's got a snow globe.
Right, talk about that, because I can't...
So he's got like a snow globe and is staring at the
snow
globe.
Can I just ask a question? What is St. Elsewhere and when was it on telly?
St. Elsewhere is a hospital drama that was on American television and in the UK on Channel 4 in the 80s.
My wife loves it.
But it was only in the 80s?
Yeah.
So how can it be linked into all the stuff that's happened in the 90s?
Because it all goes on. You can go right back to the 60s. So technically, even things like Bewitched... exist in the same universe as Friends and the X-Files.
It's like Kevin Bacon, isn't it?
He's in everything.
Yeah.
Was he in Friends?
He might have been in Friends.
He was in Barbershop,
but
wasn't he? Beauty Shop he was in.
He
was in the spin-off to Barbershop, Beauty Shop. That's what
I feel like I'm having a dream.
Kevin Bacon as well. I'm having a great time.
Yeah.
I'm having a nice time. What have you been a fan of, David? What are you a fan of?
We've literally got... Yeah, we've got 18 minutes.
What, in my whole life?
What have you... Oh, no, mate.
Did you prep anything before you got here?
Oh, yeah.
Is none of this stuff... I thought cycling was going to be one of the things that you're a fan of.
No.
I thought this is really slick, the way he's entered...
Sorry, guys, no.
I thought you'd been a fan of cycling and Friends. And...
No, I'm not a fan. The thing that I was thinking about, I mean... I was asked to think about what my favourite icon is.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought my favourite icon are this band. I don't know if you've heard of them, guys. Yeah. They're called the Beatles.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They're my biggest thing. Have you talked about the Beatles?
No, we haven't talked about the Beatles.
Who is your favourite Beatle as an individual, or do you not believe in their good as in individuals?
What do you mean as in their solo output?
Solo output, as human beings.
Solo output, my favourite is George Harrison, but
really?
I can't listen to any of his albums, but he's still my favourite.
What about Flaming Pie? What an album.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I can't stand him. I can't stand
him. You can't stand Macca?
I can't stand Macca.
Oh, come on.
But you like Macca, don't you? You're a fan of Macca.
Yeah, I do. I like all of the Beatles.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't?
My favourite is Ringo, out of the Beatles.
Yeah, he is kind of like,
but we must stop talking about Ringo Starr immediately.
Why?
Because a terrible thing happens when Nick talks about Ringo Starr for more than 30 seconds.
Does he do an impression?
Oh.
Yeah, and it goes on forever.
Yeah, but it's because I never get it right.
Ringo's
more... He's not... No, hang on.
Thomas the Tank Engine was feeling rather glum.
When
yeah, that's right, Ringo. He was feeling a bit glum, wasn't he?
When B.B. King died, Ringo Starr did a tweet that said... I'm so sorry to hear that B.B. King has died. Peace and love, Ringo plus Barbarax. It said Barbarax. And I think it's because his wife is Barbara Back. And they put a kiss at the end. But I like to imagine that Barbarax is like a Pokemon that Ringo Starr owns. Barbarax. Well, who's Barbarax?
One of the funny things is that there was sort of like, there's years and years and years of people saying that Paul is dead. Yeah. And Paul was like, oh no, I'm not fucking dead.
I'm not dead,
Ringo.
And what does Ringo say to that?
And then recently...
What does he say back when Paul says he's not dead?
But it's been going on for years and years, and then they had like this anniversary, and then Ringo Starr just turned around and said, it's a shame that Paul died in the 60s. And then Paul McCartney was like, no, for fuck's sake, man! We've just got rid of it. And I feel like we've skirted around a lot of things today without going in deep. Can we just go really in deep to the Beatles right now? Just get in right in deep. What's your interesting Beatle fact that only you know?
Oh, I didn't prepare it in that level. I just thought, what's my favourite?
Oh, God.
There's a theory, guys, yeah, that Paul McCartney's actually dead.
And when did he die?
He died in the 60s, early 60s, and was replaced. I mean, there isn't really many facts. I just love them to the point where I've got every book on them. I've got lots of... They're the thing that I would... I've got mugs, Beatles mugs.
Yeah.
And when we went to Liverpool...
Did you go to the Beatles Museum when we were there?
We didn't go to the museum, but we went to the little shop. To the museum, but we went for a steak instead.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was fine.
Sure.
In terms of their look, do you have a favourite era in terms of where you go, that's what I like to look at?
They're really
cool.
The thing is,
because you're so anarchic, David, I always thought, when I first found out that you were such a huge... I mean, it was quite a few years in that I found out you were such a huge dickhead. That you're such a huge Beatles fan. Yeah. It was quite a few years in, wasn't it? And then it was just like... Because they're sort of like the most mainstream band on the planet.
But they're the template, aren't they? And they're also, when you watch them being interviewed, what they did to the culture in Britain, they just broke it. They absolutely broke. They are broken Britain. That's where it all comes from.
Yeah.
Because they were so rude. And you'd watch them being interviewed, and they were so rude to all the interviewers. And if you can imagine in the 60s, where everyone was being prim and proper and speaking in RP accents, and then they suddenly came on and they'd just be going, no, you're boring. And that was basically what they did.
They used to have a blueprint
for it all.
You used to have a live at the BBC, and it used to be, Paul, yes, through your reading, yes, what about my books, son? What about my books, son? And John would be like shouting in the back, trying to promote his book.
Yeah, and they were just, they were incredible. When you watch those interviews, and when you watch the joy as well at them taking over the world, and literally, they changed everything.
Yeah.
Just tell me what to play and I'll fucking play it.
I mean, that's, yeah, but
just,
that's
just tell me
thing.
What to... That's when they're all... That's horrible, isn't it?
Watched it.
Yeah. Just tell me what to play, Paul, and I'll fucking play it.
And I can't do it. Tell me what to play and I'll fucking play it,
mate! You could do all the Beatles.
Tell me what to play
and I'll fucking play it. Just tell me what to play.
Just tell me what to play.
I'm happy to just be here.
We're the Beatles! Let's do the show as the Beatles.
I'm happy just to be here, guys. Peace and love, peace and love.
Ringo.
Me and Barbara Axe are really enjoying Fan Club. Keep it light, guys.
Oh, is that one of your recordings for when I got back?
Nat, we've all missed you.
Wow, is that Ringo Starr?
Peace and love, Ringo Starr here.
Oh, yeah, it's me, Paul. No, not quite. Hey.
No, yeah. I think I remember.
That's right, James Corden. I think your dad is a ghost.
the thing about copyright is that you can just put anything on a thing. I mean, I went to the cinema today to see Legally Blonde, right? But the end of the sentence was just cut off. So it looks like I went to see a film called Legally Blow. They just cut the end of these things. So for copyright reasons, a lot of the time it doesn't say Lennon McCartney, it just says Lennon. You know, I just think it's something to bear in mind when
he's such an idiot.
McCartney is your least favourite. I like McCartney.
I don't understand why he has to have that ownership thing.
Lennon and McCartney, a lot of the songs are actually McCartney and Lennon. I don't
know. He's changed the labels on them.
Has he really?
Yes. He's changed the labels on the ones he wrote to McCartney Lennon, and he didn't do it while Lennon was alive. He waited till Lennon had been dead for about 15-20 years, and then he went, oh, do you know what, I still need the credit. And he also goes around a lot of the time saying, everyone used to think John Lennon was the cool one, but you know what, I was the cool one. I went, yeah he was, but he's really angry that he didn't get the credit.
A lot of those songs, you know, they were McCartney Jackson. You know, the girl is mine. I mean, you know, they weren't Jackson and McCartney like it came up. They were McCartney Wonder, huh?
meat-free Mondays.
It's good that, though, isn't it?
That is good. Yeah, you were the one who pointed that one out.
What, meat-free Mondays?
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
When he does his little advert for meat-free Monday.
He does a little rap.
Does a little advert. He says, meatfreemondays.com. 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 He goes, you can do it right now, please. He's like that. It's that level.
Exactly like that.
So in many ways, Paul did die in the 60s.
Maybe he did. Look, we're at 10 to 1.
We're at 10 to 1. We're going to play your song.
Yes.
What is your song?
I've chosen Love Missile.
Of course
F1
you have. Normally do that, but fuck me, that was annoying. And then we're listening to it, and David is basically saying, "No, it's not my favourite song. I don't like it.
I don't like it.
You don't like it.
I did like it. No, I loved it.
It's annoying. I liked it.
It's annoying, but in also the nicest possible way. I mean, it was a little bit like watching like a. What you can't both do that. you can't leave me hanging.
Right. That was Zig Zig Sputnik on FUBAR Radio. A radio edit we're discussing on FUBAR Radio, the fucked up beyond all recognition station. We're playing a radio edit to remove a sexual act referenced within a song.
When that song came out, I bought a pair of fishnet stockings and cut holes in and put it over my head.
Robbed the bank.
Like Martin Degville from Zig Zig Sputnik.
Yeah.
But instead of... looking like him, I just look like a sort of a fat boy, fat Jewish boy with curly hair walking around Welling Garden City town centre.
On your legs?
Sorry, where were you wearing
it? On his face. Because he used to wear them over his face. That was what he did. They got banned everywhere. They were the new Pistols. I'm not allowed to look at you, Nathaniel. I have to broadcast my back to you.
The camera. That for the really camera.
For the camera.
Yeah. For the camera.
Cool. I can't wait to see what's cut out as a clip for this show.
For this show. Oh, look. So here we're joined in the studio now by Tom Crowley and Toby Williams and Hannah George. Get up to the microphone.
We're
somebody,
a treat.
Somebody sat in that.
What's going on?
So we've brought in. So everyone say hello to the microphone at least once.
Hello. Hi, Nat.
Hi, Nat.
I missed that out.
Well, I just thought we could go for a drink afterwards.
Yeah, because
we've missed you being up in Edinburgh, haven't we, guys?
Yes, we have.
We're the competition winners. We wanted to meet Nat Metcalfe.
You're going to get some of Nick's pubes now, are you?
Yeah, we are.
You won the competition.
I regret saying that, really, because I've only got a limited amount of pubes.
But they were replenished, weren't they?
I don't believe that for a second. I think you've got those.
I can go and back.
Yeah, unlimited pubes.
Quite quickly.
It's one of your selling points.
Thanks, mate.
I've missed you the whole month. Woke up every night, looked over, and you
wasn't there.
Thank God.
Classic Toby
Long way
Williams.
That continue.
That's the voice. Toby Williams did the unaired pilot.
He did do the unaired pilot.
Yeah, why has that been unaired? Because that was really good.
It was good.
Or did you guys not come out well?
Well, it turned out that we didn't realise that, but we did an unaired pilot, and at the beginning of the pilot, me and Nat were talking about Lethal Weapon.
Do you reckon anyone's got any idea what's going on?
No. Basically,
I remember that. I thought it was a good chat about Lethal Weapon. I think you'd be well within your rights to air that. And so it means I don't have to come back and do another one.
Oh.
I mean.
What's the point? Why have I not been asked on yet? That's the other question.
Tom Crowley here, furious with Nathaniel Metcalfe, which is actually the opposite of what I bought you one for, actually. We were meant to all be really happy that Nat's here.
Yeah, great.
You're just airing your grievances.
It went really well.
It was lovely.
Hannah George here.
What's going on?
Hannah George here.
David Trent's here, but he's been silent. He's been silent.
But to be honest, I mean, I was so excited about David coming on, and he's absolutely torpedoed the episode, including his fucking music choice. Absolutely fucking furious with him, I am.
Nothing wrong with 6
And you don't fucking retweet Eat Your Heart Out, and you wrote it, mate. Come on. Fucking. Hannah, how's your Drunk Women Solving Crimes podcast going?
Yeah, good. We've recorded 10 now, so we released it on the 5th of September.
And is it just for women to do?
It's guests so far, it's just been women. Yeah. And there's 3 of us, and we're all women. So, sure. Okay. Yeah. But at some point, Nick, we.
Well, no. You know. I mean, me and Nat had a women only policy on our show for guests, but they kept dropping out at the last minute. And so it's a very cock heavy show.
Yeah. But, it's a pleasure to be here.
Bucking a trend.
Lovely to have some. Lovely to see you all.
Well, just about got time for one game of Better or Worse. David Trent, you are on the spot to play Better or Worse. And, hang on, I've got a fucking button to press. Why am I doing all the talking when there's more people in the studio?
Is this going to involve that picture of you dressed as Nicholas Lyndhurst again?
Well,
it's just the great thing.
I don't use cards anymore. I've just got them all on my phone. too much work. Okay, David Trent.
No, wait. I've got to find the thing. There it is.
This is shattering.
David Tripp, Better or Worse is a game which you have to decide who is better or worse based entirely on my opinion. I'll mention someone and the person on. The next person you have to decide is better or worse than the person previously, based entirely on my own opinion.
This is David Trent, who is friends with both of us and has never listened to the show before.
He looks
starting
so
off
unhappy.
With Claire Balding. Claire Balding is Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys. Better or worse than Claire Balding?
Better.
Brian Wilson is better.
He is better. Yeah. Is David Essex of Ghostbusters better or worse than Brian Wilson?
What?
Oh, he's better.
He's worse. He is worse.
David Essex is better than worse than Brian Wilson.
He's worse than
David Essex is.
I think I've been slimed.
It's Roadrunner. What, Roadrunner, the cartoon character, better or worse than David Essex?
Better, come on.
Better.
More annoying.
In your opinion.
Come on, keep it going,
guys! Worse. Roadrunner is worse than David Essex.
This is the one moment of the show that we can actually inject some fucking energy into it.
Roadrunner.
Fucking. This bit never fails.
Wilder County better than Roadrunner.
Yeah, it's better.
Is Steve Davis, the snooker player, better or worse than Wile E. Coyote?
Oh, better!
He is good.
Is Jamie Foxx better or worse than Steve Davis?
Oh,
snooker.
Jamie Foxx, better.
He's worse than Steve Davis.
Steve Davis is a legend!
Is Nadine Coyle from Girls Aloud better or worse than Jamie Foxx?
Better.
Come on!
She is better. Is Jennifer Lopez better or worse than Nadine Coyle?
Worse.
Jennifer Lopez is better.
What?
Is Calista Flockhart better or worse than Jennifer Lopez?
Worse.
She is worse. That's fantastic.
That's Calista Flockhart. Melissa explains it all. Let me tell you something. Busting makes me feel good. That was great. How many points did David score in that round? 6.
Six. That's decent.
That's actually not bad.
What does that get me on the leaderboard?
What's the best? What's the best we've had?
Someone got eight, didn't they?
Someone got eight.
Who is that?
Can we look up who got eight? It's all the way up to eight.
I'm shocked how few people agree with you when I listen to these. I'm amazed at what the discrepancy is between.
Claudie Blakely got eight.
Claudie Blakely, she's the winner so far. Yeah.
12.59.
All the way down to you. I can't remember, mate. It was the pilot. Welcome home, Nat.
Thank you.
Welcome home.
Well done. Five stars.
Can you just talk amongst yourselves while I find the right button? Because this is so stressful.
What are you working on at the moment, Toby? Because you don't get much
time. All right, we don't have time for that. All right.
Anybody seen a knight pass this way? I saw him playing chess with death yesterday. His crusade was a search for God, and they say it's been a long way to carry on. Anybody hear of plague in this town? The town I've left behind was burned to the ground. A young girl on a stake, her face framed in flames, cried, I'm not a witch, God knows my name. The night he watched with fear, he needed to know. He ran where he might feel God's breath. And in the misty church, he knelt to confess. The face within the booth was Mr. Death. My life's a vain pursuit of meaningless miles. Why can't God touch me with a sign?